And our heart will sing, how great is our God. All right, bride, let's spend a few minutes praying in tongues, strengthening our inner man. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, da 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 Everybody, good morning. On this Thursday morning, good morning to everybody. Let me tell you, we are growing, believe this or not. After shutting everything down, we're blowing up. I was looking this morning at the website. I'm like, wow, we've only been going, we've only had that website up a week. Listen to this. We have people looking at the website from all over the world. Canada, United States, South Korea, United Kingdom, Pakistan, Australia, Brazil. I'm like, what the world is going on here, Lord? Germany. I'm like, you can't make this up. So, I'm guessing people are catching on that this is not good, what's going on. And they're trying to find truth. It's just so sad, you know, because I'm going to talk to you about something that just come out that is just, God is so amazing, I just want to scream, you know. But all these people out there, you know that I speak truth. And so they're trying to find me. And so I guess from this point forward, I'll make everything public. These prayer calls, I kind of had them private, you know, because of what I talk about. But at this point, I don't guess it matters, does it? There must be people all over the world that are trying to find truth, trying to find out what's going on. I guess they want to get plugged in. We have more people signing into band. It's just that I for sure had to get off of YouTube. That YouTube is corrupt. It is taken over, you know. And so anyways, just looking at these numbers, we're 8,000 people. 8,000 in just 1 week. We've only had this website going. And, you know, people are checking out the, you know, that video that I did from the website. The one about the letter to George Washington, you know. And that's because that is just telling where we're going, you know. But anyway, I want to tell you something that I discovered yesterday that is really just shocking about how the Lord is, okay? Because the Lord, you know, took me out of the assignment of being a White House correspondent, and he told me, you as an ambassador from the people to the natural government, now you're, you know, now you're an ambassador to them, to the heavenly government and back. So yesterday, somebody sent me this thing about this movement that's going on overseas called Women Leaders of the Abrahamic Faith convene the first ever interreligious forum in the United Arab Emirates. Now, this is based upon the Abraham Accords, which is another proof that Trump is the Antichrist, because the Abraham Accords is his baby, just like the V, the serpent seed that's inserted. He says he's the father of it, you know, and now he's the father of the Abraham Accords. When you look into this, you see what they're doing is this. They are finding the influencers in the world, and they are converting them into, guess what they're called? Ambassadors. Ambassadors for the beast to pull everybody in. I was like, you cannot make this up, that God just did this. Well, I'm going to let you hear this woman's advertisement where she's pulling people in to be an ambassador. And I want you to pay really close attention to the sound effects. And let me know what immediately pops to your mind. All right, here we go.
Here's a question for you. How many Jewish women have been ambassador to the United Arab Emirates? Let me give you a hint. More humans have been to the moon. People often ask me, how did you get there? How did you do it? How did you become an ambassador? Considering that I started my career as a criminal psychologist, working in the big house, the odds weren't exactly in my favor. But I'm here to tell you that the odds don't matter, that you can achieve seemingly impossible things with the right tools, with the right strategies, and with the right mindset. I didn't become an ambassador overnight or by fluke. I taught myself how to prove my worth and how to do things different and better. My training as a criminal psychologist gave me a keen understanding of the human condition and how relationships are key to everything we do. This knowledge taught me to negotiate and to win. And if I could do that, then you can get from wherever you are now to wherever your imagination will take you. Every morning when you wake up, you have a fresh start, a blank slate, and the opportunity to chart your own destiny. You have strengths. You have your own that will get you far if you learn how to awaken them and direct them. and I'm going to share with you my most effective tools to help you see the patterns around the management table and how to apply your unique strengths to your advantage. I'm Marcy Grossman, criminal psychologist and international diplomat. Who will you dare to be?
Bam. Is God not amazing that he started an army for his ambassadors? Bam, bam, bam. What a God we serve. Oh, yeah, what a God we serve. That old devil thinks he's slick, don't he? So he's out there rounding up him a bunch of ambassadorships, huh, for the beast. But don't you know God is raising an army of ambassadors? Yes, we serve an awesome God. Is that not the wildest? Now, the thing is, that music that you heard is the same music from Trump. Yes, it is. Remember the Trump.film, you know, where he was advertising? Yes, where he was, you know, telling everybody how he was against LGBT and all this. Yeah, the Trump.film that the evangelicals did. Not only that, but what about the film? What about the family in Washington, D.C. documentary? Same sounds. Because they're all working together? You just can't make this up. All right, so this really fired me up. I thought, yo devil. Out there, what you're doing is you are building an army of all these people. Bribe, we got to build an army. We have got to build an army. Yes, we do. So she is telling everybody that she is going to empower women to show them how they can transform and be and empower them. Can you believe this? And here's God telling us the same thing. See, God took us out of the world. He said, come out and be ye separate. And that's what we've done. And now we know that God, the thing to the exile is true. But now we see that God is pulling us out because now he's putting our boots on. He's preparing us. This is what we're battling, bride. This is what we're battling. Now, this woman is a Jew who is dressed up like an evangelical, looking all cool and hip, you know, with her makeup on and her hair down, not wearing their garb. Even the people that you see on this article and this video that they have of their meeting online where they talk about what they're going to be doing now and taking over the world and all this, ain't none of them women dressed up like Muslim women. They all dressed up like evangelicals. And y'all know what I mean when I say evangelicals. I'm talking like Hollywood. You know, they all got that look. You know, this look to me, it's where they're trying to pull in the evangelicals. Because if the evangelicals looked at all this and they seen all these women with their garb on, they're immediately going to think bondage. Why do we want to be in bondage as women? You know, because when they tell them to cover themselves from head to toe, that's bondage. You know, this is what I say today about, you know, the people that have their, you know, no makeup and all that. They're in bondage. I mean, not that I don't think we should be modest. I know we should be modest. But when you get all that legalism, you're in bondage. You know, and that's what that is. But they do all this to deceive the people. But anyways, I just wanted to share that with you this morning because I wanted to let you guys know again we are hearing God. Yes, we are. God is so amazing. Now, let me read what how they describe this. Ambassador Marcy Grossman from Canada to the UAE participated as a keynote speaker and shared, "The Dubai Forum represented a monumental moment for regional peace and collaboration, bringing together a multi-faith group of visionary women in the UAE to discuss the Abraham Accords. They were bold, innovative, and hopeful. It underscores the essential role of women in shaping a path to peace and laying the groundwork for a brighter, more inclusive future. Government, academic, business, media, and NGO leaders." Kind of makes me wonder now why they sent me a letter wanting me to get in the NGO, the We Are the Bride. Trying to suck me in, huh? Attended the event, which included an excursion to the Abrahamic family house, Louvre and Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque. Look, they took them all to the mosque. Additionally, the participants were awarded an interfaith training certificate for the workplace. The Abraham Women's Alliance, AWA, is a division of Empower Women Media, founded by Shireen Tabar and Astrid Hajar. The Women's Leadership Network provides quarterly media and educational trainings to reignite the Abraham Accords. You know what really makes me sick about this is when I was in Washington, D.C., you know, I worked inside the White House and I also worked inside of the State Department, okay? So I would go to their press conferences. Well, they have a division within the State Department, and they call it the Office of International Freedom. And this just, it just rubs me. Because I knew from day one that they was working with the beast. Because you go in there, and the head guy who... I was on his team, his prayer team, has a clock, you know, right over his desk that is an ecumenical clock with all the religions on it. You know, I was like, oh boy. And then, you know, I was really fishing him for information, boy. You know, what do y'all do here? You know, well, oh, we want to make sure the Christians are not persecuted. That's what they tell these evangelicals in Washington. But I knew something wasn't right because of that and because of the other things that they were doing. And then he was always promoting unity between all the faiths. But they presented it. See, in Washington, they have this prayer group of which they asked me to join because they knew what I did in 2017 across the country, and they definitely wanted me on their team. And then they're the ones that made me the captain over the U.S. Capitol. But this team is like the highest prayer team in the country. They monitor what's happening in the country, what prayers, what groups are going on. They kind of, you know, have a feel of what's happening in the country spiritually like. And so they formed a team to go with him inside the State Department. And what we would do is we would walk through the halls and we would pray certain prayers. Like one time we prayed against Hillary Clinton. We sure did. Because, you know, in the State Department, she used to be the secretary. So they named that cafeteria after her. So anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is this department is the one behind this. This is what is so sad, because everything I was thinking is the truth. And see, now none of them people have anything to do with me. They think I have turned to the dark side because I left. See, I didn't know about Zionism back then. but I left basically Zionism, you know. And so they feel like I've jumped off the deep end, and you know, they don't like me anymore, type of deal. But they are the ones partnering with this NAR and partnering with this international religious freedom. See, there's that word freedom again. This is what I'm telling you. Anytime you see that word freedom, just know they're a farce. You know, really. But anyway, so that's all I wanted to tell you about that, is to make you aware of two things. One is this is going on, and this will affect the church. Because if you see these people, you know, anywhere, and they're pushing the Abraham Accords because they're wanting to, you know, cooperate and have peace with everybody. You know, this is their path to peace, okay? But it is not God's path to peace, okay? All right, so we're going to leave that there. And the other thing I wanted to tell you about is to confirm that what God is doing, pulling us out and pulling us in a different direction, is God. And, I was going to tell you as well that I tried that website deal because it was so cheap, you know, where I was going to start my own YouTube channel. Oh, what a farce that was. What a farce. Here's how they get you. They tell you, okay, we're going to charge you $250 a month to host your videos. Okay, so you're like, yeah, I can afford that, right? And then they turn around and say, but we're going to charge you for your bandwidth. I'm like, what a farce. Cancel. Cancel, cancel. Because remember, that is why Vimeo got so mad at me and booted me off their platform, was over how much bandwidth I was using. Because, you know, like in my news shows, I have all these graphics and, you know, all of this movies, and, you know, it's pulling, that pulls a ton of bandwidth. So I'm like, no. So that idea is gone. So I don't know how God is going to do this with all these hungry people out here that, you know, kind of want to be shepherded right now. I don't know how he's going to do it unless they join a band or Patreon. You know, that's really the only way they can connect right now. Now, they can follow the website because I am posting everything on there now. I'm on top of it, you know. These morning prayer calls, I may just go ahead and make public and open them up. And, you know, I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on that. Okay, let's move over to the next issue. Okay, the next issue is Christina Beadsworth. I tried to go live and share that with you. But, you know, I kept getting cut off because I was riding down the road or whatever. But I did post it. But I do want to play it in here this morning again, because I want us to really zone in and focus on what she's saying. Because she is backing up what I have already said, like in our 3-day deal when I said that Trump's, you know, going to be assassinated, when God gave me that dream and said he is, you know. And I do want to get it out there publicly. God did not tell me, I'm just saying this right now, that he would be raised in 3 days. That is my personal assessment because of Jeff Byerly and what he said and other people, you know. But what God did tell me is that he will be assassinated. Okay, so she talks about that. She talks about what's going to happen as a result of that. And she talks about this. It's called the landslide. You know, I just had that dream about the earthquake. And we had Miss Tracy. I don't know if she's on here this morning. I don't see her. You know, says she feels like something's fixing to happen. But anyways, we all do know that everything has been quiet. They had a peaceful transfer for the first time, which is unusual, where the Democrats just handed everything over to them very peacefully. You know, it's like, y'all, we know something's up going on here. Something is going up. Okay, so and then Trump just announced yesterday that he is going to do martial law day one. He's going to round up all these refugees and Fox News and all them continually make references to him being assassinated. So they're setting the stage, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I hope it's not going to be through a refugee, because, you know, in that case, you could see Trump's people who are, you know, homegrown country boys, country fried, you know, gun-toting guys, you know. If they think that some foreigner, and I'm being very serious, come over here and mess with their president, they would be out for blood beyond belief. These country boys, they don't play around. You know, and there's, I mean, I just know, like, even in my community, you know, these guys, they're very serious about how they feel about Trump. And, you know, Trump's going to come back, because really, if you look at it, all these people just love their country. I mean, it's just the way it is. They don't understand what we understand. They're just looking at the image of the beast, you know, that's allowed to be presented to them through media that they all own. So they've got this big image painted up that all these people are believing. Then you got all of these church pastors that are in these groups, like the Black Robe Regiment and the, what's her name? Paula White, you know, her faith team. And so you got all these pastors that are with them that are deceiving the people. So you have the church and you have Fox News and you have all of the mainstream media in this deal, and you have Trump. Okay. So all of these average Joes out here that are just busy living life, and they're working, and they're just, you know, watching the news or whatever when they get home. Plus they have flooded the media with movies, with deceptive movies. So they're hitting them on every side with this propaganda. So we cannot be mad at these people that love Trump. I mean, if you look at it, it's so stupid. You know, you got these dumb Democrats out here that are, you know, just sending the country to hell, you know, this image they're believing. And then you got Trump over here who looks like he's trying to save the country, but they keep, you know, they just keep beating him down, you know. But now he's on top. He's putting together this dream team. I mean, all these people are excited. You know, he's about, we're going to have our country back. We're going to get the country back the way it was. We're going to shut all these people down, you know, throw them in jail and get rid of, you know, the cabal. So they think their savior is on the scene. So now that you have that picture in your head, you know, listen to what she's saying, because when he goes down, it's going to be ugly, you know, real ugly, because these country boys, they're going to be after somebody. All right, here we go.
Hello, my precious brothers and sisters. It's been a while. I've been busy with the songs the Lord is releasing and encouraging me to share with the remnant wherever they may be in the earth. So that's why these Fresh Oil Releases podcasts have taken a bit of a back seat for the moment. I feel an urgency to get out everything that needs to be released at this time. Just want to remind you that tomorrow, the 21st of November, the album Songs of the Bridal Chamber will go live on Spotify and on YouTube, and eventually it will get to Apple as well. So do put that on your playlist, do share it with friends. It's really a call by the Holy Spirit to finish your preparations and come into intimacy and hiddenness and protection with the bridegroom at this time. So on Monday, I noticed that it was the 17th of Cheshvan in the Hillel calendar, which is the day that the judgment flood happened in Noah's time. It began to rain, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven opened at the same time. And I asked the Lord, Lord, is something going to be triggered in the earth realm in this period? And I want to share with you what he shared with me. Now, this is quite largely a word for the American remnant in the continent of America. However, it will affect the whole world. So it's not a comfortable word. I think there are going to be people that are probably going to judge me for releasing these words, but I have to share what the Spirit of the Lord has shared with me. And then there is confirmation from another word that I shared some time back. So I will also share parts of that with you. So when I said, is something going to be triggered in the earth realm? I asked, is the financial crash of the dollar about to start? Because Germany is already crumbling and going down like David Wilkerson said it would. And Japan has also wobbled severely. Lord, is something going to unfold? And this is what he said. Yes, daughter, there will be a landslide. Not a landslide victory like the Trump supporters are celebrating, but a landslide of judgments is going to unfold. And just as in a natural landslide, it starts with a few stones tumbling downhill and no one takes any notice. And then suddenly the whole side of the hill plunges downwards and there is no time to escape. Are you talking about the financial realm, Lord? I asked. Yes and no. That will be part of it. But remember the man surrounded by boxing gloves. Yes, Lord. Check back what I said there. As the punches are about to be pulled and people will be blindsided by blows from directions they did not expect. Oh, Lord, I said, man is so small. How will we stand? Not many will keep standing. Only those on their knees daily will be passed over. There will be much poverty, much suffering, a great feeling of betrayal, and waves of mourning as blow after blow strikes. Lord, is Trump going down one of the blows? Yes, daughter. He loves his country, but I cannot allow idols to stand before me, especially those my people have raised up on pedestals. Their blind loyalty and adulation is bordering on blasphemy, for they say he will save them and their way of life. They forget I keep an extensive record of the sins of this great nation, sins against other nations, sins against its own people, sins against the most vulnerable and innocent. All these weigh down the scales in heaven's courts of justice. National pride is a stumbling block amongst my people. Do I not call them to walk as aliens and strangers in this world, looking for a heavenly kingdom? I am God, and I will tolerate no other gods before me. I gave my people what they wanted, a man of the flesh as their savior, but this will not short-circuit the judgments appointed. Remember my people dancing around the golden calf, an idol of their own making. And where was my true bondservant? Up the mountain, face to face with me. And so it is today. My faithful ones are not entangled in the affairs of this life. They sit before me, receiving instruction on how to proceed and carry out kingdom purposes. The first thing that must be destroyed is the golden calf. Shoo, Lord, I said, people are not going to react well if you allow his enemies to take him down. Yes, daughter. Much violence will fill the streets. Anger at unfulfilled expectations will be the flame that lights the fuse, leading to mayhem and madness. People will lose their ability to think rationally, so great will be their grief, and so-called street justice will be the order of the day. Apply the blood to your homes and cover your loved ones in prayer. Do not slacken. Many will lose their lives and martial law will be instituted. When those fences are clamped into place, you will know it is time to walk circumspectly and set a guard before your mouth. These will be dangerous days. Be led by my spirit in all your movements and actions. Do not lean on your own understanding or the wisdom of men. So that is what he shared with me on Monday. And this morning when I prepared to do this podcast, I was praying about it and I heard the phrase accelerated evil. Accelerated evil. So he mentioned the boxing gloves. So that comes from A Banquet and a Blueprint, Part 3, which was a series I released some time back. And I want to just share parts of it with you as the Lord has directed me. This is a direct quote from that post. And then he said something very interesting. The dragon's mouth is COP28. Now, those who've listened to my podcast know that COP28 was the climate change conference that was held late last year. They've actually just had COP29 in this month of November 2024, which descended into a bit of chaos because the leader of Azerbaijan declared that oil and gas were a gift from God, and that really angered the climate change people. Anyway, I'm continuing to quote from A Banquet and a Blueprint, Part 3. He said to me, "It will flow from many directions, so many at once, that those who are not grounded on the rock will find their feet swept out from under them." I was immediately reminded of the parable Jesus told of building your house upon the rock or upon the sand. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4 says, "Our God is a rock and there is no unrighteousness in him." Then I saw a boxing glove again. I'd seen one before, a fist in a boxing glove, when he spoke about nuclear fission. But this time, there were 7 boxing gloves and they were all shooting out of long crisscrossing springs. You know when a jack-in-a-box comes out of a box, it's got that kind of spring that can extend. Well, I saw that boxing gloves with the hands inside were all mounted on those kind of springs, and they came from all different sides, like all different points on a clock. 7 punches all at once in a circle towards a lone person that was standing in the middle. And I heard this: "Having no escape or room to avoid these punches or any of the blows will leave people reeling." The Lord said that the person standing in the middle represents mankind. The dragon hates those made in my image. In the year of the dragon, the punches will be pulled, and the only escape is for those braided to me. And that is a reference to the wings of the giant eagle that I shared about in Part 2 of Banquet and a Blueprint. A day or so later, he told me that 2024 will be a very tumultuous year. I looked up tumultuous. It means full of confusion, change, and uncertainty. The etymology of the word tumultuous comes from the Latin tumultuosus. It means commotion, uproar, disorder, disturbance, and unruliness. Now, we have seen that breaking out, haven't we? Then the Lord took me to Deuteronomy 32:24. It is the Song of Moses, which is the last song which he relayed from the mouth of the Lord over the people of God before he handed over the baton to Joshua and the Lord took him home. So Deuteronomy 32:24 is describing what happens to those who forget their God, worship other gods and are unmindful of him, and move him to jealousy with their vanities or their emptiness and ungodly lifestyles. Deuteronomy 32:24 says, "They shall be burnt with hunger, devoured with burning heat." There are actually seven things in verse 24 and 25, just like the seven boxing gloves. Pestilence, the teeth of beasts, and the poison of serpents of the dust. This is from the King James. "The sword without and terror within shall destroy the young man and the virgin, the suckling and the man of grey hair." In other words, all age groups of those who have forgotten the Lord will be affected. There is a sevenfold judgment being unleashed. Actually, in verse 23, he says, "I will spend my arrows upon them." That tells you God is really angry. Verse 22 says, "A fire is kindled in my anger and burns even to the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So we see this is actually a description prophetically of the day that burns like an oven, described in Malachi 4, also called the Day of the Lord. The Lord connected Deuteronomy 32, 24, and 25 with its seven judgments to Revelation 6, 8, where the fourth seal is opened and the death rider rides. Let's just read that so we can get the whole context of what the Lord is connecting here. Because it's important that there are these two witnesses in the Old and the New Testament. The pale horse that is riding after the fourth seal opens. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." That word is chloros. It also means green. Chloe is the word in Greek. "And the rider on the pale horse is called Death," Revelation says. "And there followed with him hell." So this death rider on the pale horse is bringing hell with him. He's accompanied by a whole demonic entourage. And it says power was given unto them over a quarter of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. In the Amplified Bible, those things that a fourth part of the earth slays with is listed as the sword, famine, pestilence or plague, and wild beasts. So we see that there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of the seven judgments of Deuteronomy 32 mentioned as being unleashed with the pale horse riding and the fourth seal. Now something utterly astounding is that Deuteronomy 32:25 is the 5,784th verse in the Bible. The year 5784 in the Hebrew calendar has been for most of 2024. Can you get more convergence than that? Verse 32 of Deuteronomy 32 also tells us something. But let's start at verse 31. It says, "How could one have changed 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up?" Now, the Babylonian church often uses the first half of this verse in intercession when talking about warfare and victory. They misquote this verse totally. They say one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. And they're talking about the church waging warfare in unity and sending the demons fleeing. But this verse is not about that. This verse is about our God, the Rock, having delivered up his people, surrendering them to these judgments. And why? Because verse 31 says, "Their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies know this." So what is he saying? The one that they are worshipping, the one they call God, is not the real God, the Rock. Even the unbelievers and the enemies know and can judge that what the Babylonian church is saying is God is definitely not our God, the Rock. And then it says something very important in verse 32 and verse 33. "Their vine is the vine of Sodom." Now, what was Sodom judged for? Incredible sin and uncleanness, homosexuality, vile abominations, passed off as normal sexual activity. And then it says, "the grapes of gall." Gall is bitterness, and gall is a poison. So they're making wine and serving it up, but it's poisonous. Poisonous. and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, says the King James. Taznim is the Hebrew word. It actually means a sea serpent or sea monster. Leviathan is the sea monster or serpent. It says their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. So their wine is combined from two different vintages, the poison of dragons and the venom of serpents. How interesting when you think of the shot in the arm that has snake venom peptides in it. You can find more about that from Dr. Brian Ardis. God is coming to judge, it says, Deuteronomy 32:36. The Lord will judge his people and repent and relent for his servants' sake. Which servants? It says his Ebed in Hebrew, his bond servants. So we see that judgment by fire, a sevenfold judgment, is unleashed on those who have been unmindful of their God, been drinking the venom of serpents disguised as the best wine in the Babylonian church. Something Satan has cooked up and is serving as a counterfeit wine and saying it's from God the Rock. Deuteronomy 32:43 says that the Lord will avenge the blood of his bondservants who have been martyred and will render vengeance to his adversaries and be merciful to his land and his people. So this is the song of Moses that God said would drop like the rain and distill as the dew, and as the little showers upon the tender herbs. The Lord is coming in power, and he will protect his consecrated ones, avenge them, and render recompense to them. Chapter 33 goes on from this, and Moses is still talking, but chapter 32 is the song that God gave Moses to sing, and then Moses himself releases a blessing over the people of God as they prepare to cross into the promised land. And chapter 33 is absolutely wonderful. It says that God is coming from Sinai with 10,000s of his holy ones. Those are his consecrated ones. And he's releasing a flaming fire from the position of his right hand. Where's his right hand? It's where the sons of the right hand are positioned. And this is connected to the scripture in Habakkuk 3:3-4, where Habakkuk speaks of having a vision of the Lord approaching from Mount Paran, and it says in verse 3, his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And verse 4, his brightness was like the sunlight, rays streamed from his hand, and there was the hiding place of his power. So there's power streaming forth from his right hand, rays of light and power. That telling you that the sons of the right hand are receiving, being filled with and releasing light and power and executing righteous judgments under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord said in part 1 or 2 of the banquet and the blueprint, in the year of the dragon the punches will be pulled. The year of the dragon began on February the 10th, 2024, and continues until February next year. And remember, the Lord said, COP28 is the mouth of the dragon. So that's all I'm going to share with you from a banquet and a blueprint. Please go back to the podcast and listen to it if you want to hear in more detail what the Lord said in total in that. But in this week, the Lord is warning me about a landslide of judgments, about the leader that many of the Christians in the United States are putting their hope and trust in being taken down. Now, Trump's stepping into office is supposed to happen in January. A lot can happen between today, the 20th of November, and January. We already have America giving permission to shoot long-range weapons into Russia, We already have the leaders of Russia already being in their underground nuclear bomb shelters. There's coming a landslide of judgments. Prepare yourselves, gird your loins, break bread daily, anoint your house for protection, and pray. Be one of those found on your knees daily, that you may be passed over in the day of the unfolding judgments. So I would like to add a song at the end of this podcast, as I have been doing of late. It's called The Banquet, and it's self-explanatory.
I'm not going to play that song because of copyrights. That she is actually has been taken off, you know, in order to write these beautiful songs, you know, for the bride, for an intimacy. So she told you where to go get it on her podcast. So I encourage you guys to go listen to it and see what you think. But there's a couple of things that I want to point out that she brought up. One is about Trump. Okay. She talked about how the American church has put their trust in him as a savior. And she's right. Of course, we know, you know, the bigger picture of that because of NAR and the allegiance they've made with the government. And how, you know, they don't stand up for holiness or whatever. But anyways, she talked about, you know, when he's, that all of this is going to happen at the same time. And remember, what the Lord told us that as well. So we know that when this thing starts, it's going to be bam, 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 one thing after another, because they do not want us to do like we're doing now, is the way I feel about it, because they don't want us to get on here and examine everything and to tell you what's farce about it. They want to hit you with this, and then while you're in shock over this, they're going to hit you with another one, and then hit you with another one. Another, you know, it's going to be bam, bam, bam. But she said it would be seven bams, seven punches. So I just found in my writings the dream that, and I can pull it up right here and read it to you. I just found it yesterday. Of Marty Breeden's dream that he had about the, you know, the storms and the wolf. Let me type in wolf here. Here it is. Okay, he says, and the reason I'm saying this is only because it's, you know, not everything I tell you guys is not to bring you fear. I want you to know this. You know, because Dennis is in a lot of fire right now from his family saying that we're fear mongers. You know, I'm not telling you this to put fear on you. I am telling you so that you can be, you know, wiser about it. Okay, this is what he said. He had this dream March 27th, or at least I put it in my notebook, 2018. He said, He said, I had this dream last night, March 11th of 2018. The dream I had will be difficult to share. One, because it was so traumatic to have seen and been involved in. And two, the symbolism meanings are hard to get capture. So as always, I will share what I saw and leave the timing and interpretation up to God. And he called it the dream of overwhelming devastation times two. It was almost as though in both the natural and the spirit, we were being warned. The people knew they had been warned. I knew I had been warned. Well, we know that's happening today for sure. I had been warned by God. Paul, let me pause here and interject something. Yesterday, I was at the grocery store And there was an older couple, like in their 70s. And, you know, we began talking and, you know, they was real nice wanting to know, you know, where we lived. That's how people are in the country. Where are you from? When they find out that you just moved here, they all want to know where you from, you know. But anyway, so they loved me up until he mentioned, boy, I pray we still have a country. So I looked at him. That right there is the open door. I looked at him and I said, sir, I'm telling you right now, we do not. You might as well get that in your head. I said, the United Nations took over this country in September of, you know, this year. They walked off. I was standing there like, what? I mean, you loved me. Until I, that's all I said. I'm telling you the truth. So then I tried to explain myself. I said, now listen, come back here. I said, now I know you two don't know me, but I am a White House correspondent. I was up until yesterday, a White House correspondent. Okay, so I know what I'm talking about. I worked up there with President Trump. He is not what he's telling you he is. And they listened, but they didn't want to hear. You could tell. So I told him, I said, I'm telling you, this country no longer exists. But anyway, they've been warned, you know. But it's so sad because these people, they're warned, but it goes right over their head. You know, it's like they just cannot register it. And then yesterday, this lady wrote a good one. I thought, I've got to read this to the bride. She wrote this on Ben. And she was talking about the people. Hold on here. About me warning those people. I think it was Jeannie. All right, here we go. Let's see. No, it was Connie Kennedy. She goes, you know, I think if people are just now hearing the truth, like that couple you was talking to, they really cannot understand. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, He has revealed these things to us over many years. All we can do is be available to them to give them the truth and the gospel if they ask questions. But it is very sad for them. So she is telling, it is sad because, you know, it's just so far over their head. They check out is the way I describe it. So going back to the dream. All right. It was almost as though, in both the natural and in the spirit, we were being warned. The people knew they had been warned. I knew I had been warned. I had been warned by God and had warned many others as instructed by God. It was almost like we were being foretold of that was coming as we looked at the map. There was not a single state that was not affected by these approaching storms. That's a huge statement. From the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midlands, everyone would see devastation. Even now, I can see the map. I can see the swirling colors gathering. What's odd is that normally, as the meteorologists would show on the radar that was coming and use different colors symbolizing severity, they literally ran out of colors to be able to accurately describe what would hit. I can even hear now, as they foretold and trying to tell people to, oh, please, my God, prepare and know that even your preparation may not save you. Sorry. I began my health road today, and I've been, you know, drinking this healthy drink, so my body's reacting. I'm sorry. Now, immediately, here's the part I don't understand, but we'll report what I saw and heard. They said there were six storms coming. These storms had even been given names. This time, they were given names of animals and birds as to how each would affect the land and the people. Wow. We were told that the first storm would be as a bird, that it would peck away at everything. You know what this reminds me of? Because she even talked about it in that word about how we are going into like the children of Israel plagues. You know, the, and we talked about this on our 3-day fast as well, that we know this is coming. This is kind of the way I see this. It's kind of like the plagues. And you know what else, talking about the plagues? You remember Annette, she's on the call. Remember her pointing us to this man that told everybody that these winds are by design, like these hurricanes, they're by design and they bring pestilence with them to travel in these swirls in the winds. And that it would bring, you know, insects and different types of pestilences. So knowing that, this is how I see this, because look, it says that they name these storms according to what the pestilence will be, basically, is the way I'm seeing it. Because it says, okay, we were told that the first storm would be as a bird, that it would peck away at everything. So there you go. Just like the children of Israel plagues. Remember the frogs and all that, and shake things mightily, but would also be used to deliver the message as in the days of old. And then he said, I cannot remember the second storm's name. They told us that we would experience the end of all things when the wolf came, and it was the third storm. Wow. That is creepy on a stick, because we just had in the West Coast what they call a geostorm, you know. So this is kind of like how I'm seeing this. They showed us on the map through tears and stuttering and hanging their heads. They told us to prepare. One of the last things they said before they went off air was, we really have nothing to compare this to. We must get ready because you have never seen anything like that before. That night it hit. Okay, so storm number one, it hit with a magnitude that no one expected. I remember that I could not gather myself enough to discern if this was natural or man-made, because it literally seemed to be both simultaneously. Wow. The winds, the rain, the wreckage, everything. I recall watching the large trees bending under the weight of the winds and seeing the waters rising on the coast and seeing the heartland pounded by a mighty force. The next morning, just as it was named, it had pecked and shaken everything. And word had indeed traveled across the country at the devastation that had occurred. Vicki Atkins had a message from the Lord entitled, Prepare for the Wind. Well, okay, let's go down this road a minute. Let's look at, remember when I was doing news and we was looking at all these different buildings on the, you know, we used to travel together on the Google Maps, you know, the Google Earth. And we went to Jensen Franklin, you know, which is one of Trump's chief guys. And we went to his church to kind of look at his building because he got a new building since COVID. We looked down there. We could not believe what it was. It was in the shape of a spider. And we looked it up and found out that the reason these buildings are being shaped in this oval shape is because of the winds coming. The winds. And which to me is confirming why God is telling me and Dennis to put up that wood on the windows. See, Dennis is hesitant now. God's the one that told Dennis in a dream, you know, to put up the, to board up the windows, but he's embarrassed, you know, honestly. And he's like, I just don't want the neighbors to think we're a bunch of, you know, fear mongering people. But it's just been so much confirmation since then. You know, just pray for Dennis that the Lord would give him a confirming dream or whatever. Because, you know, he's the husband. He's the man. He's the head of the house. So I have to honor him. But I'm just telling you guys, you know, to just pray for him that, you know, he'll hear the Lord. And I hear what he's saying. But, you know, the world don't understand why we do things, you know. So the Lord told you too, Denise, to do it, to board up? Man. Well, okay, so let's go down this road. So let's say that they are going to bring a bunch of winds. And like Annette's guy, you know, if it's to bring the pestilences, you know, this is going to bring the, this is going to be the modern day Pharaoh, children of Israel, etc., you know. But another thing that we know, a reason that they're going to have a lot of winds is because of their infrastructure. Remember, as I've traveled over the years, you know, we have monitored the infrastructure across this country. And the infrastructure is what I call like beast towers, which is the cell phone towers, where they have all the 5 Genesis and all that other stuff on there. And they have the weapons. Some of that stuff is weapons. And they have the, you know, the sound system and all that kind of stuff. It's microwave weapons. But anyway, those are beast towers. Then you have beast drones. Beast drones are these lighting systems they've been putting in around interstates. And they're putting them around major interstates. And what they do is they put them in a circular pattern. And these lights look like a drone on the top. But they have lights underneath them. So it looks like a drone can just pick up and take off after people. And on top of that, which the Lord confirmed, that is true. The on top of that is a drone pod, where other drones can sit and recharge their batteries. But what, and I also knew that on those circular patterns is so that they can project an image like a UFO or something. You know, like a hologram, because we know that we have monitored this in the news, how they can do these holograms and look so real. I mean, like, you really think this thing is real. It is creepy, the technology they can do now. But anyways, so in my assessment, is going to be like where they will have these UFOs over these major cities, and it looks like, you know, they're right over you. But anyways, that's beast drones. Then you have Checkpoint Charlies. Okay, Checkpoint Charlies are where you see the metal that goes across the highway that has all these signs, you know, that tells you, like, exit here, whatever. And then now they have TV screens on them, okay? Now they have cameras all over them, not just one. Some of them have 6 or 8 cameras on them. And they will have a camera that has 2 or 3 cameras in it. And it's where they're going into major intersections or major cities, and these will be checkpoints, is the way I see it. And also another thing that developed as far as the infrastructure is, when you drive into states, they changed all of these, you know, the first rest area is like a checkpoint now. They have, you know, all of these Checkpoint Charlies up, and they have all these cameras on the side, and You know, so they're getting ready for the climate lockdowns, basically, is what all this is for. So, anywho, all of this infrastructure is done to sustain winds. They are big post metal that wind cannot knock over. They're not wood anymore. And the reason is because these are now filled with the veins of the beast. It is filled with all of the wires and internet, all of that wiring that they have going down, connecting everything underground. So, anyway, so that, in other words, the infrastructure is being put in to sustain the winds as well. All right, so let's continue here. Back to the word here. I just finished reading this. The next morning, just as it had named, it had pecked and shaken everything, and word had indeed traveled across the country at the devastation that had occurred. Now, it was time to move on to the next storm. This is where it gets tough. Again, we looked at the map, and literally we all gasped as we saw the size and scope of what was coming, knowing the magnitude of the first. You know, I listen to this, and I think, okay, let's all just go here a minute. Okay, we're all sitting in our houses. We're all older people. We're not a bunch of, you know, young chicks that can just run for miles and all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, we're sitting ducks, basically, you know. But, so all we have is Jesus. I mean, really, it's what it is. I mean, so if we're, you know, in the modern day time looking at this scenario where they're hitting us on all sides with all of these natural disasters, you know, what they want people to think are natural disasters. All we have is Jesus. And I think about, you know, the Titanic movie when the Titanic was going down and the flood was coming in the rooms and people couldn't leave and they were stuck in the lower bowels, you know. And it would show like families all curled up on the bed together holding hands as they were overtaken by the flood. You know, old couples that were laying in the bed just holding hands and praying. You know, and that's the way I see it. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. The will of the Lord be done. And I have it come to my mind when I was writing those two books, The Garden Twins, and I was in that little horse trailer. Remember that little horse trailer was probably, you know, 15 foot long. It was just a little stick, but it was just a little piece of metal. Well, this storm came, and it felt like a hurricane, man. And, you know, this was in Mississippi. So here I am in this little tin box, you know, and this thing could have picked me up and carried me, you know. I had nowhere to go. It was me and Jesus. I was on my face praying in tongues. I just laid on the floor and prayed in tongues the whole time. I had nothing. There was nothing else I could do. But this is the way I see it now. You know, people will be cornered in and they're gonna see which God they serve, you know. Because the Christians immediately in the middle of disasters like that, they're gonna turn to Jesus. They're going to pray and they're gonna just trust the Lord. I mean, if it's your time, it's your time. But if not, he's gonna supernaturally save you, which he did. He supernaturally saved me. You see what I mean? Okay, now, this time, all they would say was, we really don't know what to say or how to warn. Just be prepared the best you can. The next day it hit. During the daylight hours it came. Wow. It was really odd because you could see the storms gathering and you could literally hear it coming. Oh, that'd be creepy. I remember seeing the looks of fear and dread on people's faces. Okay, here, look what he says here. Some people prayed, and others checked their supplies. Now, see, that's what I want to say as well about this ambassador woman. who is, you know, working with this organization to round up all these people to join the worldwide global unity, all the influencers. That is what I have to say about this as well, is she's telling everybody, I can help you and empower you so that you can do all of this on your own. You can supply for yourself. You know, that is what the New Age is wanting to, all your kingdom is within, you know, your power is within. Whereas on the other side of ambassadorship where we are is totally opposite. No, it's all on Jesus, people. There is no, we can't do nothing. There is no relying on us to do anything. The Lord will direct, and yes, we will do, but it doesn't mean that we trust in our arm of flesh. Do y'all hear? It's a big difference. For one of the first times ever, though, it seemed as though now everyone was taking the warnings to heart, for there was little to no mockery. The first storm had taken care of all that. So now people are paying attention. I believe that's why my website's blowing up, because people know I'm off of YouTube. That's a big sign that something is about to come, because, you know, I loved it on there as far as, you know, all the people I was connected to. I do miss all the people. But anyway. Okay, for one of the first times ever, though. Okay. The power by which this storm hit is truly unexplainable. Every foundation was shaken. Every room of every house had been moved. Wow. Wow. That is creepy. I saw naval destroyers literally capsized on dry ground far from the coast from where they had come. I saw death and destruction in unprecedented ways. There was not a single family, business, or church that had not been affected and devastated. I recall back now that while it was happening, that I was expected to be swept away at any second, and I expected to be standing before my Lord at any moment. The cries and pain of heartache was nothing I ever want to hear again. Ain't that sad? Again, the wind, the rain, the shaking, the sounds of explosions and waters rising and ground splitting and seeing ocean waters flowing through the rivers. I recall after storm number two had hit thinking, now I know Jesus said those days must be cut short. If not, no flesh would be saved. And I remember thinking, my God, this is only storm number two, and we got six of these things. All of humanity and all the earth will be wiped out, and the earth will disintegrate beneath our feet. Even those most prepared among us, many of them perished, for there appeared to be most cases to be no escape. Wow. There were godly among us who had been taken, along with many of those who were not believers. I noticed, though, even as I surveyed the landscape the following day, I could not believe the devastation and damage. Everything had indeed been shaken, just as foretold by Christ. The one thing I saw that surprised me was that now it seemed that there was very few, if any, who did not believe. Everyone was broken in a way unforeseen, a level of brokenness I had never witnessed ever. Amidst the tragedy and devastation and carnage, there arose a brokenness among the people, for they knew it was only a matter of time. It was then that we gathered to hear the next forecast. We were all so tired and so weary, but there was a deep work going on in the heart of man. God was at work. This would be the wolf coming next time. As the forecaster took the st- stage, he was visibly shaken, but not in despondency this time. Something was different. He stood before the camera and gathered himself as best he could, and I heard him say these words, "The people are repenting. The people are repenting." He then said, "And it's because of this repentance that, well, look at these storms now. Yes, they are still coming, but they have been dramatically weakened and will not cause the devastation we originally anticipated." This reporter wept on national television. I recall myself and all those around me weeping and praising God. Me being me, my mind immediately went to, okay, now it's time to gather the harvest. The fields were white unto harvest. Let us go forth now and bring them in. Isn't that beautiful? That was Marty Breeden. Hold on just a second. Okay. There's another dream under there, but I think that's all we can take today. But anyway, but that gives you an idea, though, of, you know, what she meant by hitting on every side. Like, you know, this thing hitting and then the next thing hitting. Now let's go back to, I guess I said it all, the seven. Okay, the wolf. All right. So basically, is that the world would repent. Okay, so with her, though, she's talking about, okay, Trump is going to be removed. The world goes into panic. And then we have this natural event happening, which I believe will be the earthquake and all this. It's going to be a lot. And for me and Kimberly, you know, we're right here on the river, you know, so we're just going to have to believe, like Dorothy, that God's going to protect us somehow, miraculously, because we're right down here by the river, you know, the Mississippi River, where it would hit, type of deal. But anyways, the will of the Lord be done, and the Lord, we pray that he will use us all, no matter what happens, for his glory. And I just wanted to point these out to you this morning before we get into the next order of business this morning. The first thing that we addressed was the beast and what he's doing in the earth with ambassadors, making ambassadors for the beast, and how God has led us to where now we're doing ambassadors. So God is amazing. And the next one is this woman's word about the devastation that's coming, so that you can keep your eyes open. And it confirmed what God has been telling us. And also about the boarding up the windows, you know, getting the house ready for these high level winds, type of deal. Okay, and then the next thing that I want to talk to you about this morning, let me get it up here on the screen. Okay. Somebody asked yesterday, you know, how do we plead the blood of Jesus over our land and our houses? Is this what we're going to talk about this morning? Because we need to be prepared. And I wouldn't doubt it if it hit before Thanksgiving. or even before Christmas, you know, to try to take out the Christian holidays, you know, and the memory of our country with George Washington, you know, with his proclamation of Thanksgiving, which was thankful to a God, you know, that gave us this land and whatnot. So I'm going to read, I found a really good article online about pleading the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to read you what their assessment was. I believe that we're truly heading into the end time waters as prophesied in the Bible. Learning how to properly plead the blood of Jesus for deliverance and protection is going to be needed by all Christians in order to help them get out of harm's way as things really start to heat up in the years ahead. Too many Christians are getting robbed, abducted, murdered, emotionally or physically abused, slandered, cheated, scammed, etc. All you have to do is watch the daily news and hear one horror story after another. I believe the number one reason why so many Christians are coming under such heavy attacks from both demons and evil people in this world is because they do not have God's full protection on them. And the reason they don't is because they have never been taught how to spiritually defend themselves using actual spiritual warfare techniques. There are numerous verses in the Bible telling us that we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and that we have to fight the good fight of faith. Like it or not, we're all living in a war zone as a result of the Adamic curse that is still in full operation on this earth. We are living in a fallen, imperfect, and cursed world that is subject to death, corruption, demonic spirits, and evil humans who have chosen by their own free will to live this life on the dark side. What this means is that any one of us at any time can come under direct human or demonic attack. Places where we thought we were safe are no longer safe. Criminals are getting more brazen and more evil. Children are literally getting abducted right out of their beds in the middle of the night when their parents and their children in the house sleeping in other rooms. 9/11 has forever changed our landscape as far as all Americans are concerned. Radical terrorists have now officially invaded our country, and we will never know when or where the next attack will occur. The Bible has already warned us that evil, lawlessness, and immorality will abound in the end times. There are verses telling us that in the end times, men will become lovers of self, unholy, blasphemous, having no self-control, and only living life for what they can get out of it. The Bible tells us that the love of many will grow cold during these times, and many people will only be out for themselves and for whatever pleasures they can get out of this life while they still can. As a result of this deterioration in man's moral state, many people will become more impulsive, brazen, and evil. This may help explain why some of these evil people are literally kidnapping children out of their beds or in front yards. They are losing all self-control over their evil, sick desires and impulses, and they are acting on them without any thought of the consequences of their actions. And plus, I believe some may be influenced by other forces, if you know where I'm going with that. Since I really do feel that we have officially entered the end time waters as prophesied in the Bible, each Christian is going to have to make a big personal decision as to how they're going to live the rest of the time they have here on earth. That's the truth. Christians can either choose to remain passive with their heads stuck in the ground, which we see a lot of people doing that right now, don't we? Hoping that they nor any of their close loved ones will ever come under any kind of direct human or demonic attack. Or they can choose to learn how to rise up in the power of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and learn how to spiritually defend themselves against spiritual warfare techniques given to us out of the Bible. When the enemy does come, he will come at each one of us from time to time. You can either choose to run and hide, hoping that you will somehow survive the attack and make it out in one piece. Or you can choose to learn how to spiritually defend yourself and engage with the enemy head on, like David did with Goliath. The choice is yours. Too many Christians are taking the first approach, and they are literally getting killed and being taken out of this life too early. The pain, torment, and agony of losing loved ones, especially to any kind of violent crime, is beyond human comprehension. Too many Christians are living defeated lives with no real joy, peace, or power in their lives. Storm clouds after storm clouds keep coming after them, beating them down to a pulp. Many Christians, since they have not been properly taught how to engage the enemy when he comes their way, are drowning in their sea of troubles. Too many Christians could not pray their way out of a paper sack if they ever got caught in one, because they have never established any kind of personal relationship with the Lord. They've never developed any real working knowledge from His Word, have no real knowledge of the enemy, his tactics, and how he operates, and have no real knowledge on how to properly pray or stand in the gap for someone else to get God to move in with His supernatural power to bring freedom, healing, or deliverance to a particular situation. In my opinion, and from the personal experiences that I've had with this form of offensive prayer, I believe that learning how to plead the blood of Jesus may be one of the greatest offensive spiritual weapons that you can have in your arsenal. As you will see in this personal testimony section, complete and total victory was granted to each person who pleaded the blood of Jesus on their set of circumstances. For those of you who really want to learn how to arm and defend both yourself and your loved ones with these attacks to come your way, read on. Okay. Here we go. Spiritual grounds for pleading the blood of Jesus. Here we go. There are many Christians who attack this form of prayer. They ask, where in Scripture is there proof that we can use this kind of prayer for either protection or deliverance when we really need it? There is no evidence in the early apostles that they ever pled the blood to heal, to cast out demons, or to get God's basic protection on them. Well, I believe that there are three specific things contained in the blood of Jesus. Ooh, it's going to be good, ain't it? Forgiveness, deliverance, and protection. Many Christians only know about the first one, forgiveness. They have no idea that there's two other things available to them that will enable them to live a victorious and overcoming life in the Lord while they're still living down here on the earth. Forgiveness. As Christians, we all know there's definitely forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. This is the basic central message of true Christianity, that God the Father sent His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, down to the earth in flesh to physically die on a cross in order to save us and give us total and permanent forgiveness of all our sins. Without Jesus dying and shedding His blood on the cross, there would be no forgiveness of sin or remission of any of our sins. Okay? So in Matthew 26:28, it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant. Here we go back to the covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of His grace. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Notice the emphasis on the word blood in these verses. There is no question that in these verses and others in the Bible, that the blood that Jesus personally shed for us on the cross is what leads all of us to be able to receive eternal salvation, the forgiveness of all our sins, and entrance into heaven when we die and cross over. Okay, the blood as deliverance. Now, what are the spiritual grounds that will give us the legal right to be able to use the blood of Jesus when taking on a tax that may come our way. As you will see in some of the stories in the testimony section of our site, you can plead the blood of Jesus against specific type of attack, such as attacks from demons or other evil people, and any kind of physical illness or disease, or any kinds of addictions like drug and alcohol. Many Christians are not aware of the second component that's in the blood of Jesus, which will entitle us to be able to use his blood to go on the offensive against any adversary or adversity that may come our way. Something else happened that day when Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus also defeated Satan and all of the powers of darkness that day. Isn't that amazing? Okay, Hebrews 2:14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those through who the fear of death were all of the lifetime subject to bondage. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Key. What defeated Satan and all of his dark powers? The physical death of Jesus on the cross. And what did Jesus do when he denied that day on the cross for all of us? When he died that day on the cross for all of us, he shed his blood. This is why pleading the blood of Jesus works so well in real life combat situations when it is really needed to defeat attacks that are coming against us from the dark side. Many Christians are not fully aware of this second fact about the blood of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus can also be used to engage with our enemies when they do try to launch any kind of attack against us. I believe that all of the above scripture verses definitely tell us that the blood of Jesus shed on that cross has totally defeated Satan and all of his dark powers. The only thing left is for us as Christians to fully realize this incredible fact and to grab a hold on this powerful truth and to not be afraid to use it when they need it, especially when demons or other evil people are attempting to come against them with any type of unjust action or attack. Now, I kind of see this like, you know, we've talked about this, about them releasing monsters and how they're doing the CRISPR technology and all that stuff, you know, bringing back the giants from the days of old. You know, this is very serious. We should be able to use this blood of Jesus, you know, against these things. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself and my house. You know, there's no demon coming in this house, no giant coming in this house, coming on my land, bothering us, you know, type of deal. Here are four more powerful scriptures from verses from scripture that show that all Christians now have God's supernatural power and anointing available to them so they can use it to engage with the dark side of this life. Luke 10:9. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Notice in this verse that we have God's power over all the power of our enemies, not just against some or part of their powers. This means that we have the ability to come out completely victorious in some of life's battles and struggles, but only if we learn how to properly use what is now available to us. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9:1. Notice in this verse that Jesus gives the 12 apostles power over all demons, not just some of them. If we have God's power available to us to defeat all demons, then I believe that we also have God's power to defeat any and all humans who may try to come against us with any type of unjust action or attack. Attention, Dawn. Attention, Dawn. If you live in a house where the devil is raging, this is where you have a warfare tactic. You have a way to rebuke that devil in your house. Plead the blood of Jesus. Put the blood of Jesus on their pillowcase. Put the blood of Jesus over your bed, over your headboard. I mean, you take that anointing oil and you go around everything they touch and you touch it. This is a warfare tactic. You know, when I was the captain of the White House and the U.S. Capitol, God would send me on missions like that. And he would tell me, I want you to go in there and I want you to lay your hands on all this. You know, he would tell me to do how to do stuff like that. Because we are thwarting the enemy's attack against God and his agenda, you see. Okay, so let's go back here. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am in agreement this morning with the word of God that says that I will do great exploits. That I do have the protection of the blood of Jesus. I receive this blood covering over my life. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am in the army of the living God. And I am walking with my protection today. In Jesus' name. Knowing their God means that we have spent good quality time in establishing a good personal relationship with the Lord. If we do this, then this verse is telling us that God will strengthen and empower us when we need his power to be able to carry out great exploits and great adventures for him. Then, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Y'all know I love that story. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Aww, I have never seen that before. So his eyes came to me that night on the highway to show me that he knew I was loyal to him. I'll never forget that story. It's the wildest story. This verse is telling us that God is actually looking for people that he can anoint with his power and show himself strong through. But the implication appears to be that he really cannot find many people who are willing to pay the price. Bam, that's the key to be able to really walk with his anointing. That is the truth. I've had people look at me, you know, because they think that I'm just restless or reckless. Yeah, not restless, but reckless. That I'm not a responsible person because I just obey God, you know, whatever he tells me to do. But, I mean, it comes with a very heavy price, don't get me wrong. But obedience is where your wealth is. I've said that even back in Bible college, back in 2005, God showed me that. Because wealth is a lot more than money. It's a lot more than money. Your wealth is your endless, endless provision, your endless, you know, God. It's just an endless amount of God. Let me just say it like that. That's what it is. Because, you know, you have this wealth of knowledge from heaven that you know that he is with you and that you're not alone no matter what you're doing or where you're at or where you're going. That is, to me, this is your wealth. It's not about the image of wealth, you know, the way that the public makes it look right now. Hold on just. That's a good question, Dawn. The way I do anointing oil is I take olive oil. I just have olive oil. Some people will mix, you know, other oils with it, but I just have plain, you know, and I pray over it. And I give that oil to Jesus. And I tell him, Lord, this is going to represent you, the anointing oil. All right, so let's go over here. As you can see from the way all of the above scripture verses are worded, true Christianity is not a weak, wimpy, or passive religion. As born-again believers, we all have the Holy Spirit literally on the inside of us. As a result, our bodies have now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. His supernatural power is now available to all of us in order to help us handle some of the storm clouds that can come against us in this life. Learning how to properly plead the blood of Jesus for any deliverance or protection that you may need is just one part of our arsenal. Okay, next one is protection. As you'll see in this section, you can plead the blood of Jesus on specific things that you will want protected before any kind of adversity can strike them, like your body, house, car, finances. The goal is to plead the blood of Jesus on these things in order to protect you before any kind of adversity could come your way. If the above verses are showing us that we can plead the blood of Jesus against any tax that may have come our way, then I believe it only stands to reason that we can also go one step further with the blood of Jesus. Use it for protection of anything, of any kind of attack. In this case, you simply plead the blood of Jesus on whatever you want God's protection on before the attacks come. I believe there's something else in the Bible that gives us another clue that entitles us to be able to plead the blood of Jesus for this specific purpose. In the Old Testament, God the Father had it arranged with his chosen people, the Jews, that in order for them to be able to enter into a covenant relationship with him, they had to have some type of temporary covering for their sins. Jesus had not come yet, so there was no full remission for any of the sins that had occurred back at that time. What God the Father had set up was a sacrifice of blemish-free animals such as bulls, goats, and lambs. Their blood had to be shed once per year on what was called the Day of Atonement. The shedding of these animals' blood was what gave the Jewish people a temporary covering for their sins so they could then enter into a personal relationship with God the Father. This is why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He is an extension of the lambs used by his Father in the Old Testament to give the Jewish people a temporary covering for their sins. Once Jesus had to come to shed his own blood on the cross, there was no more need for any more animal sacrifices. His death on the cross had completed and fulfilled what his Father had started in the Old Testament with the sacrifice of these animals. Now watch this analogy. In the shedding of the Lamb's blood on the Day of Atonement, there was a temporary covering for the sins of the Jewish people. Then Jesus comes in, the New Testament, and the shedding of his blood now gives all believers complete and total forgiveness of all their sins. Isn't that beautiful? Now, here's where I feel that something else occurred back in the Old Testament that may entitle us to be able to use the blood of Jesus for divine protection. In the story of the Passover, God had sent his servant Moses to rescue the children of Israel from their captivity from the Egyptians. God had thrown 10 whopper plagues at the Pharaohs in an effort to try to get them to release his people from his rule. On one of those plagues, God told Pharaoh that he is going to allow an angel of death to come through their camp to kill all their firstborn children. However, before God sets up this to occur, he tells his own people, see, this is what God's doing with us right now, bride. He is telling us, do this, do this, do this. He is getting us ready for what's about to hit, ain't he? He tells his own people to shed the blood of a blemish-free lamb and to put that shed blood on the doorpost and lintels of their houses. God tells his people that the angel of death will bypass their house if he sees the shed blood put on the doorpost and the lintels. This angel of death will thus not kill any of the Israelites' firstborn, but only if he sees the blood properly applied to the doorpost and lintels of their houses. In other words, the blood of this blemish-free lamb was being used for divine protection before the attack ever came their way. Had each person had properly not applied the blood on their doorpost, the firstborn children would have been killed along with the rest of the firstborn children of the Egyptians. So there you go. So imagine how crazy that looked back in those days. When the children of Israel obeyed God, did something so crazy, killed a lamb and put the blood on the door of the house. I mean, can you imagine what the Egyptians were thinking? What is wrong with these people splattering blood all over their house? I mean, you know, this is what we're going to face obeying God in this hour. In other words, the blood of this blemish-free lamb was being used for divine protection. Before this attack would ever come their way, had each person not done it, they would have been in trouble. If the shed blood of the Old Testament lambs used for the temporary covering of sins eventually leads to the shedding of Jesus' blood for permanent and total forgiveness of all our sins, can we also use that same analogy and say that the shed blood of the lambs used in the Passover for divine protection could also lead to the shed blood of Jesus having divine protection? Now, I can tell you the answer to that, yes. I know the blood of Jesus has saved me over the years. I personally believe the answer is yes. And this is why God the Father seems to be willing to work with any believer who will plead the blood of Jesus on whatever they want. You know what I really think it is? And we're going to end that part of it. This is what I really think it is. When you plead the blood of Jesus, all you are doing is this right here. You are coming in agreement with what that blood really means. Why did Jesus allow himself to stay upon the cross? Why? Because that blood had to be shed, you know? And so when we say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my home, and you walk around your house and you take that oil as you're praying in tongues and you're saying this out of your mouth, I believe you, Lord. You're protecting my home. As you're taking that oil and rubbing the doors post of your house, I do windows too, and the entries to all rooms. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is covering my house. I thank you that angels are here protecting our home. I thank you that the blood of Jesus is shed for the protection of my family and the protection of me. And, you know, so you're pleading the blood. You're in agreement with heaven of what Jesus did. You're in agreement that this blood is your protector, that the blood has power. We just read in the scripture where it says that, you know, life is in the blood. So this blood has life. So when we're applying it, you know, we're putting a weapon there. And I can tell you again the story of Washington, D.C. when God gave me my beautiful, beautiful apartment 10 minutes from the White House. I loved, loved, loved it. It was the first time I ever lived in a high tower building. I was on the second floor right over the entryway. I had a patio. I had a living room that was all windows. I mean, it was gorgeous. And I had a patio that went around a corner of it. So I had two patios. And it was all windows, so I could see everything when I'm cooking in the dining room and living room. Really pretty, you know, overlooking the city. Well, when I first moved in there, I took that anointing oil. Yes, I did. And I went out there on that patio, and I took that oil, and I rubbed it all around the edges of that patio. Thank you that I plead the blood of Jesus. No demons shall enter this house. This house is protected. I don't care what demons was in here before I got here. You got to go. I do this over every place I move to. I clean house. That's where the blood of Jesus comes in too. I am cleaning house. I'm commanded every one of you demons. I don't care if it's a hotel I'm in for one night. I'm telling all you demons right now, you got to go. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. This is God's domain now. So I'm telling you, exit this place in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over the doors. I plead the blood of Jesus over the windows. I pray angels to come to my house and to protect my house. I thank you, Lord, for sending your host of angels to me, Lord, because they are working on our behalf. And I thank you for the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so on that porch, I did that. Well, I guess I was there about 4 months, and I saw what that did in the visual. Because remember I told you how the prophet rebuked me and came to my door and rebuked me. You know, I had sinned against God with this man. Because I met this man, you know, that I was interested in, so we was talking on the phone. He was another preacher, a worldwide preacher, you know, and I thought he was the one, and I usually never talk to men, but this one, it just got me. So anyway, so we had talked 3 days on the phone, and God came to me in a dream and said, nope, that's not the one, let him go. Yes, Lord. About 3 days later, I called him back. He said, I thought the Lord told you not to call. I said, he did. I said, but I just miss you, man, you know. And he's like, well, let's just be friends. Okay, we'll just be friends. All right, so we did this friend thing for 3 days. So the Lord comes to me in another dream, and this time he wasn't playing. He sat down. See, when God rebukes me, he will come to me in a dream, and he will sit down like on the bed, and he will talk to me, and he will rebuke me really bad. So he came and he rebuked me. He said, I told you, he's not the one. Let him go. I'm like, yes, sir. So I repented in my dream, and then I woke up and tell the guy, you know, I'm going to have to block you because the Lord came to me in a dream, and I told you how God does me, you know. So he said, you're not the one, so I got to let you go. Goodbye. God bless you. So that lasted about a week, I guess. I called him up, and I just had this sting. I don't know how to explain it. I had a sting. I was stuck. And so he's like, oh, I'm so glad you called me back. I am in love with you. I have decided, you know, whatever. So we got to talking again, trying to be sneaky. Oh, my gosh. I got whipped so bad. I mean, it was that lasted 3 days. I got a knock on my door. I opened that door, and there's a young man standing there. Pointed his hand right in my face. He said, thus saith the Lord, let that man go. And when he said that, I knew God had busted me. I mean, my heart, there was a sting. I didn't know it was witchcraft at the time, but they had done a witchcraft prayer against me. And so I had this sting of this man. Okay, so I lifted my hands up when he said that, and I said, cast it out. Because something had grabbed on me, right? So he cast it out, and that sucker was gone. Then it left. I didn't have that sting anymore. So me and this man, this prophet, we went and prayed over the Masonic temples there in D.C. There is the Scottish Rite, which is 33rd degree, and then there's one in the town I was living in, which was Alexandria, Virginia, and it was the George Washington Masonic building. And so we went and we spent all day walking around them, praying in tongues, you know, interceding, speaking what God was telling us to say and all this stuff. So I actually filmed it. I wish I had that. I wish I could find that film. I would love to post that for y'all. Would y'all like to see it if I could find it? But anyway, so I posted, you know, like what we were seeing and whatnot. But anyway, well, we get back to the apartment and I'm making us some lunch. And all of a sudden, I feel a whole coven of witches, man. They came and they lined up around that entire perimeter around that porch. I saw it in the spirit. And I was like, oh no. See, they couldn't cross the bloodline. But I saw them in the spirit while I was cooking. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every one of you to leave this property right now in the name of Jesus. No spell, incantation, or curse is going to be working against me or this prophet in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, they left. But God did that. I know that he showed me that they cannot cross that bloodline. And I even had this one witch come after Brock when he was a young guy, when he was a teenager. And she tried everything to go out with him at school. You know, they was in high school. And, you know, he kept telling her, look, you know, I don't date. I don't have relationships. I'm sold out to the Lord and that's it type of deal. So she wouldn't leave him alone. Well, she came to the youth group and everything. And so finally, after her begging and begging, he told her, he said, all right, I'll tell you what. He said, I will go out with you Saturday night, but I will under one condition. She said, what? He said, if I can bring my brother. And, you know, because they taught him back then, you don't go out on dates alone. You know, always have somebody with you or whatever. She's like, oh, okay, cool. All right, so that Friday night they had a youth meeting, and he had been with the Lord all day in prayer. And I heard him in his bedroom, you know, he'd be speaking in tongues, he'd be weeping and wailing before the Lord, and, you know, all his regular stuff. And I took him to the youth that night. Well, she walks up to him in the gym, and she goes, oh, I'm so excited, you know, that we get to go out tomorrow night, and oh, I just can't wait. And he looked at her and he said, I have been in prayer all day and we are not going out tomorrow night. And she goes, what? And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are a witch, ma'am. And when he said that, her whole head contorted, Brock said. She went like, rah. Then that thing manifested right there in the gym. So Brock had to cast that thing out. She took off running. Well, she took off running. Brock goes back there to the youth pastor and he says, dude, you gonna believe what just happened to me. That girl is a witch, sir. She is, you know, and he's telling him, the devil sent this woman in here to try to seduce me because, you know, Brock was their head leader in the youth group. And we're talking a youth group, y'all, of like 200 or 300 kids. I mean, a massive youth group. And the guy didn't believe him because they were Assembly of God and they don't believe that way. They do not believe that Christians can have demons. And they said, nope, she just got saved at camp last week, so there's no way she can have a demon. He said, I'm telling you. You know, he said, I am telling you, she had a demon. Anyway, that man, and then I guess it was the next week, Brock was preaching, and the Lord told him to preach on that Christians can have demons. The Lord showed him in the Word how it works, because we are a three-part being, you know, just like God is, and it's the soul that where the demons are. You know, you are a body. You know, your body is just your fleshly identity. It is from the dust you came and to the dust you'll go, you know. But because you're in this earth suit, you have rights in the earth. Because you, God gives you a spirit. Every person has a spirit. And every spirit goes back to God. Did y'all know this? That's what the Bible says. Every spirit goes back to God. Why? Because your spirit is trying to woo you your entire life to God. That's where the conscience comes in. That's why some people, if they never hear the name of Jesus, can still go to heaven. You know, like in these third world countries or whatever. Because if they follow their conscience, the goodness of God, then he will let them in. But that's the only way. But anyway, but you have a soul. Now, the soul is what goes to heaven or hell. There's three parts of you. Because the soul is in the middle. The Bible says that your soul is always battling between the flesh, which is your body, and the spirit, which is God. The body is the familiar. It's the way that you are more comfortable with because you've been there, done that, and you're more secure there. So you want, you know, like we was talking about the flesh and the spirit. It's kind of like that with your body. So it's the reasoning of your mind. Because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Well, the spirit is always trying to woo you to God and to do what's right. But it's the soul that makes up its mind which one it's going to serve. It's either going to go towards the flesh and the worldly ways, basically the lies of the devil. Or it's going to go with the spirit, which is going to cost them everything because it's directly opposite of what the world says. Okay? So the witch, so Brock went back to this youth group and he told him, he said, look, dude, you know, all these kids, Christians can have demons. This is where spiritual warfare comes in. We are not once saved, always saved. You know, there are consequences. If you open the door of the devil, you are opening yourself up to demons. You can have demons. They got so mad. That youth pastor... Hold on. Sis, I can't talk. I'm still in my prayer meeting. Love you, bye. Okay. They got so mad at him that they took him to, they stopped the service, stopped the pastor who had like 1,000 people in his servants, in his service, stopped him from preaching. And had the assistant come up there and finish the sermon. Pulled him off the platform in an emergency situation. Now listen to how bad. This is just some of the things Brock's been through. They pulled him down in what I used to call the dungeon. It was way underneath the church. It was this was the biggest church in our city. They pulled him down in the dungeon. Rebuking him. How dare you go against Assembly of God doctrine. How dare you? We don't believe Christians can have demons. Don't you ever preach that in this church again. You know, and Brock, he just humbles himself, you know. And he just tells them, yes. You know, he tell them, you know, the Lord showed me in his word, you know, that they can have demons. Well, I sat outside that old church and I was steaming. I was steaming. You know, because I'm Mama Bear. And I have been, see, they've been doing him stuff like that all the time. Used to make me so mad. But anyway, he come out. And he was telling me, you know, what they did to him. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm getting all mad and everything. And he's like, Mama, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not okay either. I can't stand them. What gives them the right to just stop their sermon to come down there and rebuke you in the basement, you know? But anyways, that's how Brock was. He was always so humble and they rebuked him all the time. He went through so much persecution, not just there, but at the school. Oh, I could be on here all day telling you what he went through at school. Oh, it was horrible, the persecution he went through. Anyways, so where was I at? What was I telling you? Oh, about the blood of Jesus. Okay, so this witch told him before she stormed out of there, after she contorted and everything, she goes, I tell you what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to pray that you're not going to be able to pray for the next 3 days, and you're not going to be able to sleep either. That's what she told him, and she took off running. So she calls him the next day at the house. Hello, Brock. I just wanted to know, was you able to pray yesterday? Yes, ma'am. Was you able to sleep yesterday? Oh, yes, I did. Click. So she calls the next day. Hello, Brock. I just want to know, was you able to pray yesterday? Yes, I was. Was you able to sleep? Oh, I slept so good. She got mad, hung the phone up again. So she called the third day. Brock, was you able to pray yesterday? And he's like, let me tell you something, lady. I prayed better than I've ever prayed. And I slept better than I've ever slept. And the woman reacts like this. No! She got all mad. She goes, I can't get your family. I have cast every spell and every curse I can think of. But when we get near your house, listen to this. It is so bright, we can't see anything. That's what she told him. So she was all mad. She screamed and hung that phone up. And then she came to he used to have these meetings, you know, where he'd have 75 kids from all over the county that found out, you know, what was happening, miracles. You know, Brock had miracles all the time. So all these kids would come from all these different religions wanting to get healed, delivered, set free, filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire for God and everything, you know. So Brock was turning that city upside down. So here comes that girl. So she comes to Brock and she repents. And Brock, she had a hand that was in a cast. And she said, will you please pray for my hand? Well, Brock prayed for it and it got healed. So she goes back, you know, and she's, I guess that Satanist, the head Satanist of the city had showed up to this meeting. And she went over there and said, see, I told you God healed me. That man reached over on her hand and he spoke a curse over her. And it went right back to the sickness. And he walked over to Brock and he said, I'm going to tell you something, young man. He said, I am the head Satanist in this city. And we are aware of you and what you're doing. And we are going to curse you. And he spoke all these curses over him. So Brock rebuked him, whatever. And Brock said, hey, the Lord is with me. So the guy left the next day. Brock got some type of tumor appeared underneath his arm. That thing, within one day, had grown into, it looked like a huge, what size ball? I want to say like a big softball. And it had veins on it that were running down his arm, black. I mean, it was just demonic. It was demonic. Well, you know, of course, we had contacted all the churches in the city that Brock was connected with and told them, you know, look, my son, he's under this demonic attack. Pray for him. You know, they knew Brock was real. Well, do you know, we took him to the doctor and they sent him immediately to the hospital and had to have emergency surgery. Do you know that Brock had 30 preachers show up before he went into surgery, and they all gathered around his bed and they prayed for him because they knew he was under assault. You know, Brock went through the surgery and he has a scar under his arm and he still remembers. He says it's his battle scars. But anyway, so going back to the blood, though, is the blood of Jesus does protect us and carry us, which I'm thinking how did that happen to Brock? I don't know, but they crossed it somehow. I don't know. But the point is that the blood does protect us, and it does heal us, the blood of Jesus, and it does help with your mind. When you have an assault on your mind, just plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, you know. And so I guess that's all I have for you guys this morning. I feel the peace. Let me sing you this song real quick, and then I'll open up the prayer lines. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. Flowing down from heaven today. Lord, I pray for everybody that's listening to this, no matter what day it is, what time it is, where they're at, all across the world. Lord, that you would give them peace with all of the chaos that's happening out there right now, God, knowing that you are our Lamb, the perfect Lamb that was slain, and that you are with us and leading and guiding us into all the truth, Lord. And I thank you for filling their homes with peace and joy. And we plead, I come in agreement with them, pleading the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of their house, and of their bodies, their temples. And I speak peace in their mind and in their heart. And I thank you for sending a host of angels to their home to protect their homes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I do want to say, give you one other spiritual warfare tactic before I stop the recording. Is the Lord taught me this when I was praying in D.C. about prayer and when I traveled this country. I will probably do a class in college on nothing but prayer and spiritual warfare, because I have learned a lot of things through my travels that I will be able to teach you about prayer and warfare. But one of the things is, when you walk around your property and you are praying and anointing your property, make sure that you pray it like this. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus from the core of the earth into the heavens, a wall of protection of the blood as you're walking and proclaiming that over your property, so that it is a wall. Pray that from the core of the earth to the heavens, a wall of protection. I thank you, Lord, for protecting this property and protecting me, you know. And another thing that I think you need to know is, just like when we watched that video of that woman that had the demon that come in her house, and they covered her mouth, the demon did, because they did not want her saying Jesus. Now, I can kind of see the enemy trying to do that to us when they take us in the camp, you know, trying to shut our mouth, because they know if we open it, we have power. We have power, people. Our mouth is the power, you know. Think it in your head. You know, think it in your head. Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. I mean it. The reason I say this, if that didn't work, then I don't know what to say, because I have many stories, like when I was praying with people on their deathbed. Why else would God send me to these beds of these people that were in comas. And then they die. It has to be because their mind can decide. It has to be. Because I told you about me going to that Masonic guy. And he had all these Masonic accolades over his head. In this, frame where his family was bragging about him being so high up in the Masons. But God sent me to him. And I don't believe God would have done it if he didn't have a chance. Because he was in a coma. He was laying in his bed. The room was very dark. Nobody else around but me and this man and Jesus. And I said, I walked up to that man. I said, sir, I know you can hear me. Because the Lord already showed me that you people that are in comas, you're still alive in there. It's just your body can't react. Okay. So I know you're listening. So I'm just going to, and I tell him, I said, you know, this, I came here with this company and I'm here to minister to you. But I'm going to tell you, sir, as a minister of the living God, that these accolades that are over your head are demonic and you have to come out of agreement with them, sir. I told him this. I said, this allegiance that you have to the Masons, you're going to have to break that right now, sir. I said, you know what? I believe God has given you a chance or I wouldn't be here. So this is what I'm going to do, sir. I'm going to lead you into a prayer where you renounce this and you ask the Lord to forgive you for getting involved in that. You have to come out of agreement. Y'all got to know this power of agreement sermon. And I led him in it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every agreement I made with this organization. Everything I spoke out of my mouth in agreement with what they said and did, I'm rebuking you right now. I come out of agreement. I don't accept it. I cast you off me. I cast you off my family. Any allegiance, I'm breaking that allegiance right now in the name of Jesus. And I am humbly asking you, Lord, to forgive me for giving oaths to any other person or thing like this. You know, like yada, yada. So I prayed with this guy and then prayed the salvation prayer. I didn't know this man from Adam. Never saw him again. But the reason I'm telling you this story is to let you know there is something to this. So if you're ever in a situation where you're captured and you cannot speak, don't give up. You fight in your mind. In the name of Jesus, I am rebuking you right now in the name of Jesus. You know, speaking it. Now, a lot of us that speak in tongues, we know as well that one of our strategies of speaking in tongues is under our breath. You may be able to do that warfare tactic if they have your mouth closed. You may still be able to use your tongue to speak in tongues. If so, you may be able to use your tongue to declare, but it would be kind of under your breath, you know. They may not be able to hear, but you may, you know, and even if you're in a camp, and you're somewhere where you can't speak loud, you may be able to still pray and still pray in tongues, you know, and keep it very quiet. You still have the power, even if your voice is quiet, is what I'm trying to tell you. You have authority. I rebuke all the devils in this room. I'm telling all you devils, you cannot touch me. I've told devils this. I told you about that story. I've got a lot of stories, but I told you about that story of that house that God put me in with that woman with the molestation demon that wanted to molest me, but God wouldn't let me leave. Remember that story? When I closed my door at night, this is what I said. Lord, I need you to put two angels over there, please, Lord. I need two angels assigned to that door to keep that molestation demon away from me. And God did protected me. You know, I only had to stay in that house 3 nights. God released me out of that house. But he had a purpose for me being there. Okay? So the point that I'm trying to say is that you have that authority. You know, where you can plead the blood of Jesus and tell them demons to stand down. You know, if you're living with somebody that has demons, you have the authority in your house. You don't need anybody else to have authority over you. You have the authority. You just need to know the authority that you carry. You speak in the atmosphere. This is my house too. And I am commanding you, devil, that you come down in the name of Jesus. You know, you will not act like that in this house. You know, plead the blood of Jesus over you. You know, put that oil on your head. Plead the blood of Jesus over you. Put stuff on his pillow, on his bed, you know, that anointing oil. And you pray over him and you say, I command you, devil, and you do it. You cast them devils out. I command you, devil, get out of this house. I command you to leave him. In the name of Jesus, you know, taking your authority type of deal. But the blood of Jesus is what gives you your power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Isn't that beautiful? All right, well, that's all I have for you, so I am going.